The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Here it is, Debate Tuesday. And yes, we will absolutely carry that tonight. 6 o'clock is when it's all going to kick off, a CBS Debate simulcast on SRN. Of course, we're SRN people along with Town Hall, so we will have that. I think they'll have some analysis afterwards. I'm not quite sure what their plan is, one way or the other. I will monitor the situation and make sure that you have it in one form or the other. Television, watch it, listen to it on radio. Maybe, you know, watch on television and listen on radio sometimes. I don't know. But one question I would have for you is, what question, if you were the CBS moderators tonight, what question would you ask of Tim Walz and or J.D. Vance? What questions would you pose to them if you had the opportunity? I think if I were going to ask, if I were going to be a debate person, I'd have to ask them both, how are you realistically going to be able to rein in inflation? That would be the big one. It's going to have to be asked. I don't know if it will be, though. But what is something that you would ask, okay? So we can get your answer on that. Another one, I'd ask Tim Walz. I mean, everybody, he's going to try to do this thing tonight where it's going to be, hey, it's Coach Walz, and he's going to try to be this crazy guy or something. I don't think that's necessarily going to work. He does have a record, and the record's not particularly good, especially in the burning down of Minneapolis a few years ago. He was the governor on duty. You know, it was his deal. It was on his watch that the city took so much damage and so much violence. So what would you do? You know, why did you do it that way? And how would this make you a good president, given what happened to Minneapolis? I think you'd have to ask that question. I'm not expecting CBS to go there, though, are you? But what questions would you pose, all right? 770-563-3770-KMED. Anything else on your mind, too? Because it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. I'm hoping that J.D. has a good night. I know he's been practicing, unlike President Trump. He's much more disciplined about, you know, being prepared and much more of a policy wonk kind of guy. I think he's probably going to do well. I hope he's going to do well. But he has a good tone and is very disciplined and very good at staying on message. So that will probably be helpful. I don't know where the weakness is, but we'll find out tonight one way or the other for sure. I had Patrick write me here a few minutes ago. And we'll give him another email of the day, sponsored by Dr. Stephen Nelson, Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Next door to the Mazatlan Mexican Restaurant, Central Point, up on Freeman Way. Great people there, okay? And Patrick writes, hey, Bill, maybe have one of your intrepid financial geniuses check out this hypothesis. The rate of inflation has been jimmied since Jimmy Carter's days, maybe longer. The best indicator of the rate of inflation is the federal budget. The rate of spending increase year over year is probably the actual inflation rate. Perhaps it actually precedes the following economic inflation rate. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but we do know that the rate they are telling us is bogus. Patrick, I will agree with you. I will share some data from Shadow Stats here in just a minute when we get back. And I think John Williams has always had a pretty good bead on what the real inflation rate is, which is how you end up getting these requests for 80% pay rates over the next, you know, 6 to 7 years and no automation coming out of the dock workers, right? But we can talk about that and anything else on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday next. This hour of my show sponsored by Fontana Roofing for roofing, gutters.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
18 minutes after 8, open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. And we put on our, you know, spark a bowl and just get friendly. I don't know why. I'm looking at, I never play a Steve Miller bumper, so I thought, okay, I'll play this one. Threshold is like, oh, wow, man. Scuba Steve next door is putting his thumbs up. You were secretly a stoner, weren't you, Steve? Steve, by the way, does afternoons on Cool FM. 103.5 Cool FM. Hey, before I get to the phones here, 770-5633, if you wanted to join in, it's anything that happens to be on your mind for the rest of this hour. We'll just have some fun. We've done everything from talking inflation to talking about the Three Stooges and Shemp. I mean, it's all been in there. But Patrick wrote me a few minutes ago and said, what is the real rate of inflation? And there is one guy out there, one economist, who I always admired. He may overestimate it a little bit, but his name is John Williams. Shadowstats.com is the website. Shadowstats.com. And what he does is that he calculates the inflation and the GDP and the unemployment rates based on the way the federal government used to do it, because over the years, it's been demonstrated that they tend to do everything possible to make the statistics coming out of Washington, D.C. look much better than they may be in reality if you were calculating it in the way they were prior, which is why it's very difficult sometimes to contrast inflation today, as an example, with inflation, say, back during Reagan's time, you know, 1980, 1981, big inflation. I remember at that point, 1984, I bought a house in Redmond, Washington, east of Seattle, with my first Whiffy, and it was $73,000, and it was 10.9% interest rate, and I had to buy it down 2 or 3 points to get the 10.9, because I think the typical rate at that point was more in the neighborhood of 11, 9, 12, something like that. And it was just, it was wild, wild time. And I was thrilled to get 10.9 at that time. And your typical car loan was 19, 20, 21%. It wasn't unusual. Wasn't unusual at all. But anyway, back to John Williams and Shadow Stats. Shadow Stats, he still has this up. Now, the latest numbers he has are for 2023, not this year. So it'll be next year he'll have 2023 once he gets it all through there. But he says that in 2023, the federal government reported the consumer price index at just under 5%, about 4.2%. That was the inflation rate. 4.2 is what they were talking about. That was a rough year, right? John Williams says, in reality, when you look at the way people live and use the way that it used to be calculated, that it was closer to 11%. Closer to 11%. Now, even if you think he's exaggerating it a little bit, that's still considerably different from what people are being told. And that's why, you know, it's like regular folks, you know, you go to the grocery store and you're seeing this amazing inflation, the inflation in services where, okay, even something simple like you would go to a massage therapist and it was maybe $60 an hour a year ago and now it's $85 an hour, you know, today, those sort of things. The inflation in services don't seem to be really getting caught, captured in government statistics, and yet they're real and people have to pay them. The insurance rate increases. That's been a big one, just massive, massive increases that we've been seeing. And yet we're told, okay, are you going to believe the renewal rates and the bills that you're getting, or are you going to believe our statistics? And we're told to believe the statistics. And anyway, John Williams says pretty good job on that one. And for this reason, we would go to the phones and talk about that or anything else on your mind, too. Matt, I know you called a little bit earlier, but when it comes to money, I'll give you a second bite anytime. But what's on your mind, huh? Go ahead.
Well, first I have to climb back from your 1970s reference of sparking a bowl.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to get into my time machine and jettison back to 2024 here.
Exactly.
I honestly haven't heard that since high school. You know, so one of the things that comes up.
By the way, I didn't have my AC/DC T-shirt. I wish I'd had. That would have made it perfect right then, because the kids in my Edison High School that were sparking the bowl, they all wore AC/DC T-shirts at the time. All right, it was early in their career.
You know what? It's same in my school in SoCal. So you and Herman were having a great conversation about inflation. It's so odd because people do think in terms of their own insurance. Because I know auto insurance, homeowners insurance, all of that has gone up, along with food, along with fuel, along with all of these other things. But people don't often think about that in their local counties and the budgets for your states and for other things. But there's something interesting, and this is something that I just learned a couple of weeks ago, that as the Federal Reserve lowered interest rates 0.5%, and I guess yesterday they commented that, you know, we'll probably have two more cuts, but it's going to be 25. Each, not 50.
And the markets were hoping for more aggressive cuts from the looks of it, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But what the Fed has done, and this went unnoticed, including by me, that they're actually raising their three-year estimate for where they expect the Fed funds rate to be. So three times this year, they've raised where they expect them to settle. And so I can't remember what the starting point was, but the ending point at this point for the estimate is 2.9%. So while they're lowering rates, they also have inflation expectations of one sort or another because they're raising the level of which they think they're going to bottom out on interest rate.
And so you would have to ask if they're looking for the Fed funds rate, the interest rate, to actually be rising, why would they be cutting rates right now?
You know what? Stagflation is the word that comes to mind, and
yeah.
People were bringing it up 2 years ago. I'm not so sure that's gone away. I just don't know that it's gone away. Inflation is still there. The rate of inflation is still very high. So I don't see how that goes. But now to the question as far as what I would ask Tim Walz, and this would be something to James Manson's brain trust. I understand that he took a fairly substantial budget surplus in Minnesota after he got elected, and he blew through that like a drunken sailor in no time, just spending, spending, spending. Since the economy is number one on the issue for most Americans, you know, this thing about asking about the tampons and that stuff, I would completely ignore that stuff. I would go right to the heart of the matter. If this guy were in charge of anything, what could we expect in regards to the economy?
I think that's a great question, and thanks for making it, Matt. Yeah,
you bet.
And I'd be curious to see if CBS will actually ask that kind of a question. Appreciate the call. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning. This is Bill. Who's this? It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hello, Francine. How are you? What's up?
Well, here's my Pebble. I've noticed you guys are featuring a new ad for something called, I can't remember the name of it. I actually looked it up and got the spelling right, but who knows? Anyways, they are using the war song of Lowrider.
Oh,
commercial.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's my heart.
Yeah, it's about something. What is that? It's some eye medicine. You get an injection of eye medicine in your eye blob.
Your retina might detach, but that's okay. Do it anyhow.
Uh-huh.
You know, but I mean, I could care less about the medication. They're using Lowrider of all things, all songs they could use. That one, just, oh, no.
Bring it down. Now.
I mean, that was one of my tunes, Bill.
I loved Lowrider, too. You know,
I used to cruise Van Nuys Boulevard in a 53 Chevy.
You did?
Yes.
You did?
A bronze and beige Chevy coupe.
Oh.
It was beautiful. Yes, I did.
Now, did you have like the hydraulics on it that you can hop it up and down?
No. I was just a kid. I wasn't, you know, a mechanic, you know, or anything.
Oh.
Like that. But man, it was beautiful. Beautiful.
And that pharmaceutical company is ruining Lowrider for you, so you're upset.
Well, I'm angry that and I'm also upset that it was allowed to happen. I mean, what's wrong with everybody? Has everyone lost their moral fiber?
No, I don't think that's what it is. It's called war hasn't had a hit for probably 30, 40 years, and they probably made more money. I'll bet. I mean, well, the veteran.
I know.
The person who owns the rights to the song, and I don't know who it is, all right?
But they're probably
making more money from selling the use for that song in the pharmaceutical ads than they probably ever made from the single Lowrider when it was on the radio back in the day, right?
I know. I can't tell you how many times I've posted videos on my little social site I go to with that song, you know, over the years.
Yeah, I love it. But, you know, every time I hear Lowrider, you know what I can't help but remember? And I know this is such a juvenile remember a scene in my head, because I was in Southern Oregon, Southern California for a while, and I loved watching the Lowriders. They were so cool, right?
Yeah.
But even though I never had one, it wasn't my style, but I appreciated what they were doing, okay? And
right.
But I still can't help but remember Cheech in Cheech and Chong, Up in Smoke, when Lowrider came on the screen. I think it was one of those Up in Smoke movies, and he's sitting there,
yeah.
He goes, man, here we go, man, and he's polishing the Lowrider. Every time I hear that song, I think of Cheech. Every time. I gotta love it. Thank you very much, Francine, but I appreciate your Pebble. Let me go to line three. Good morning, Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Good morning.
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
How's my Slovenian brother doing?
I'm doing really well today. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, you brought up memories. I'll be 70 in a couple of weeks, so I've been around a little while. Not old, but not young. But you mentioned house prices. My first house I bought on a private contract in Salem in 1981 for 12%.
12%. Okay. Yeah. So 12%. And you were glad to get it at 12%, right?
Well, rates on a commercial basis were crazy. 17%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little higher. And, you know, it's all perspective. My children are very successful, and their housing costs are just stupid. 3%, 3.5%. And I told them, you better jump in when you can. And they didn't think that I was really that accurate until a couple of years later.
I know that one of the most wonderful benefits that I have, and I know so many people weren't able to do it at that time, but I'm sitting there on a 3% mortgage on my home right now.
Wow, good for you, brother.
Yeah, but you know, you look at what they call the stupid valuation of it right now. They claim that my house, which is nothing special, I mean, it's a nice house, needs some things done to it, and they claim that's like $480,000, $490,000.
Yeah.
What, at 6 or 7%? I don't think so. And yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, maybe it's $500,000 when you are able to borrow money at 3%, but I think so many people are locked into those low mortgages. I think it's paralyzing the market to a certain extent. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know if this is providential. I live out in the country. I've had my property for 31 years. Yesterday, I had a great horned owl land on a branch in the daylight. Mm-hmm. And I got a good look at him. And I'll be damned if that thing didn't look like Hillary Clinton.
Great horned owl. Great horny toads, my friend. Thanks for the call. I love it.
You got it, brother.
All right. There she is. Actually, she's had some good work done lately. Have you seen pictures of Hillary lately? Pretty good plastic surgeon. It's working. It's taking the beast out of the Hildebeest a little bit.
It's gutter season. The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofings.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
It's 8:34. Minor Dave, you want to dedicate this song, right?
Yeah, I want to dedicate Helen Reddy to all the real women. I Am Woman, because I think it's appropriate for real women.
Yeah, well, there are so few women left now, and when I say this is because women are being erased right now by the administrative state, and so we must promote real womanhood.
Right.
Thank you. Let me go to next line here. Ed's on. Mr. X, good to have you on. It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. What's happening?
Well, the real pebble in my shoe, Bill, comes with historical references of recent timing, you know, in talking about this strike that's about to happen with the goods coming in.
And by the way, it's on right now. It's on now.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And it is. And, but, you know, this is nothing more than an act, I believe, because you think back just a couple of short years ago of what happened with the California thing, trying to impose the electric trucks distributing this stuff. And there was all it made news everywhere, how much we were short in our supply chain because these ships were backed up out in there. Mm-hmm. And it was because they tried to say it was because of COVID, but it turned out it was because California imposed these regulations that only no diesel trucks could move it within the state. And it had to be transported to the state lines by electric truck,
which is also very inflationary in cost. Another inflationary.
Yeah, it's all inflationary. Portion. It's mm-hmm. all part of the game of creating this stuff. And, you know, now there was a news report that I caught that Camilla was called back to D.C. or something for some type of briefing, you know, and, you know, it'll be a big thing about negotiating into the strike or whatever, and they'll try to portray her as the hero in this. And it's, you know, we just have to see through this stuff. We have to sit back and understand and remember. Remembering these things is a crucial part of this that we have to, in order to really cognitively understand everything, and start taking it apart. Stop letting them create these things that create this chaos that they prosper in.
Ed, real American salute, especially the remembering. Sometimes the remembering part is difficult, especially when you're whipsawed back and forth in the And I think the news cycle is now what they used to talk about it being a 24-hour news cycle. I think it's more like about a 10-minute news cycle, you know, the average attention span of a TikTok viewer, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's about it. It's impulsive. It's impulsive and impulsive decision-making.
All right. Ed, thanks for the call. Let me go to David. David's in Phoenix. Hey, David. Pebble in your shoe Tuesday. What's in your mind?
Yeah, good morning. I preface this with going to that meeting in Josephine County a few weeks ago about the fire map.
Mm-hmm.
And Herman talking about how he asked the questions of the guy from Oregon State who had the Montana computer program that was supposed to be the best mapping program in all this. And on your show, how he said, well, it may come down to we might have to do something like a class in the future. We might have to do a class action lawsuit. You remember all that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that room at that hall there in Grants Pass was completely packed. It was full of people, and they had lots of concerns, and you could really – it really kind of broke your heart because a lot of them were older people that have been making a living here and maybe even second generation. Maybe they inherited the land, so they have a emotional tie to the place. It's just not real estate investment. It's not like – it's not an investment. It's more than that. It means something to them. It's where – it's a place where they live.
It's home.
And yeah, and they're attached to it. And the people with the fire map started a long, long time ago, and it should have been killed then, not at the point where someone says, a responsible adult, and he is, Herman, said, well, if there's harms done, we may have to do something like a class action lawsuit. So this thing will just keep rolling along, absorbing everybody's time and energy. Meanwhile, the next thing's coming up, my pebble in the shoe, is the Jackson County Libraries. I didn't even know about them calling the current new libraries.
And by the way, those were turned over to the district a couple of years ago. Those bonds are long paid off.
No, I'm talking, okay, well, great. So the district has the bonds. So now
the district doesn't have a bond. The bonds are paid off.
No, I understand that. But now the district with these new, brand new libraries are talking about redoing these libraries, in some cases completely rebuilding new libraries. And this is the time to kill it, not down the road when it becomes popular culture again. And I haven't heard anybody getting excited about this at all.
I haven't seen a proposal.
It was plastered on the window at the library.
Well, plastered on the window of the library is not public notice.
Right, but they're not going to give you the notice till it's a fait accompli, like the fire map.
Okay, thank you. Point well taken. But you know, you're yelling about something I can't even comment on because I haven't seen it. See what I'm getting at?
Once again, like the fire people who want this to get the people off the land. The Pomeroy dam that was removed without even all the stuff you normally have to go to remove a dam because the poor ranchers up there, there's only two of them, and God, they were going to be sued out of existence. So they said, we surrender right off the bat, and I don't blame them. I'm holding it against them. Nobody helped them out. What I'm saying is these things come up, and at the end we all get excited. And we all want to do something,
mm-hmm.
But it should be killed in its infancy.
Well, if you want to kill it in its infancy, there's only one way you're going to accomplish that. Work on decertifying the public library taxing district, because you just need to kill it. Just kill the actual entity. Okay?
I agree with you 100%. Thank you.
All right. So now I know what you're going to be working on, David. Hello, Steve.
Hey.
How are you?
Good morning. I'm reasonably okay.
Good.
For perspective, you know, I've been 50, I've been 60, I've been 70, and I'll be 80 pretty soon. So I've been through lots of things. I became a financial advisor in 1998, and I've been running businesses and thought that that was a good background to be a financial advisor. And in fact, I think it was. But the financial advice business is a whole other deal, which I didn't really expect. And in 1998, 1999, that's when the first tech bubble was going on. And
all you had to do was have .com on it, and you made money, right?
Yes, and people were expecting a 12 or 15% return, and they were planning their retirement around a 12 or 15% return. And there was a lot of research being done, and the people with big brains had come out to say that you shouldn't spend more than 3% of your assets in any year to be successfully retired. Well, that just made people crazy as a financial advisor clients, if you came out and told them that. But the Federal Reserve really works against us, because the Federal Reserve and the federal government always overspends, and they always punish older people because older people can't fight back very well.
And you also don't have the time to speculate. You can't take the loss. And yeah, then and then hope to make it back as maybe somebody in a who's a 25-year-old, that kind of thing. I think where we need to concentrate and strike at the root here, Steve, is that the Federal Reserve, in spite of whatever they claim to be working for an elastic and working for employment, the Federal Reserve, the central bank, is inflation. That is its purpose. Inflation.
Well, And they make inflation because they spend too much money, and the only way they can get out from under the debt is to inflate the currency.
And that's what we've been experiencing, and it's being inflated much more to an extent that I think than we're even told. I appreciate your call, and thanks for making it. Yeah, it's can't disagree there. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, and wherever you are, I will get to your call, 770-5633. What's on your mind? Share your thoughts. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED, 99.3 KBXG, this hour of the program, sponsored by Fontana. The hour is sponsored by Fontana. This portion, though, this segment, is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, the only nursery in the area with online pricing. You go to valleyviewnursery.com, and trust me, they are closer than you think.
Stay updated on Recreation Extension 3 for more information. News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
By the way, wanted to let you know that tomorrow, remember the Oregon State Marine Board, the whole thing about the jet boats, that controversy, and of course the Oregon kitchen table, in which we're going to get out here and get everybody split up into little tables, and then we can sit around there and collaborate with each other what we're going to do with the jet boats up there, as long as the jet boats go away. Big, meany jet boats. Okay, yeah, I know I'm exaggerating just a little bit. But yeah, this issue is back tomorrow, and Oregon State Marine Board is actually going to be here all day tomorrow for a public hearing regarding the jet boat issue on the Rogue River. This is coming from Commissioner Colleen Roberts, okay? Meeting starts 8:30 tomorrow morning, and the agenda has presenters all morning from 8:30 till 1, including the Oregon kitchen table, that consensus fraud, Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Rogue River Guardians, Rogue Jet Adventures, City of Shady Cove, Jackson County. Commissioner Roberts will be the one speaking. And then the public will testify with real, meaningful public testimony. You actually get a chance to put in meaningful testimony until the last speaker, or by 4 o'clock, whichever occurs first. So remember, this is going to be tomorrow in the Jackson County Courthouse, you know, where the county commission, the old courthouse, where the commission meets, all right? This hearing is going on 8:30 to 1, and then from 1 to 4, it's you, okay? So if you have a dog in this fight and you have an opinion on this, this is real input, not the Oregon kitchen table consensus. All right? All right. So don't say you didn't have the opportunity. All right, David is here. Hello, David. Good to have you on. Welcome.
Hi, Bill. It's David from Medford.
Good morning, David.
So you had a call on earlier, or a person on earlier that was mentioning that both candidates, Harris and Trump, are offering everything under the sun to try and get votes. And I know a lot of senior citizens have been propagandized into believing that Trump is going to take their Social Security away. So I had a thought. Why doesn't Trump in one of his rallies say that he's going to add food and energy into the cost of living?
In other words, everything that they take out to make the inflation look less, right?
Right. Well, right now, food and energy are not included in the cost of living increase every year.
No, they're not, because they consider that too volatile, right? Isn't that funny?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I get to thanking all these other people. You know, the reason people are striking, the dock workers, Boeing, auto manufacturers, is because the cost of living is so high. So they're striking for higher wages to be able to manage their life better. Well, seniors, people on Social Security can't strike. All they can do is beg for more money, and so if he promises to them for more money every year, then he'll get millions of votes, I would think, because a lot of people on Social Security aren't just senior citizens. They're retired government workers. They go on the cost of living increase every year also.
Yeah, well, the one thing I would certainly assure you of is that Trump's not stealing anybody's Social Security. Nobody is stealing anyone's Social Security, whether or not and by the way, neither side of the aisle is talking about any kind of reasonable reform for it right now, too, which is also continuing to bake the cake of challenging times financially still.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. But that's the reality. I appreciate the call, David. And let me go to Attila Rob, who, is out there. People just drive you nuts, Attila, but that's okay. Good to have you on. What's up?
Good morning, Bill. Just a small historical lesson for this morning.
Mm-hmm.
To all the useful idiots in the Democrat Party that is supporting the destruction of America, remember what the collaborators got had to them after World War II when we took over France.
It wasn't good. Are you thinking that we're headed in that kind of direction, though? That's pretty serious.
Well, I'm talking about if you're collaborating in the destruction of America, you keep your yard signs out there so we all know where you're at.
Okay. All right, Rob. Appreciate the call. 770-5633. Let me go to line 3. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Todd. I'd rather be anonymous.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just call you anonymous. Let's hear it. Go ahead.
I get something. It's with the VA. It's just our government's just bizarre.
Okay, was that all you wanted to say, or was there something else?
No, I was on the radio. They asked me, I had a new doctor out there, so for the intake, you know, they asked the basic questions, and they asked if I go by pronouns, which is whatever. But then after that, it was, what is my sexual preference? Do I prefer sex with heterosex? Do I prefer sex with males? Do I prefer sex with both male and female at the same time? Do I prefer she-male sex?
Well, all right, now, I have the perfect cure for them asking you these questions, all right? What would you think if they said, you know, I am really turned on by VA doctors. There's no one I would rather have sex with than a VA doctor. What do you think about that?
I just thought it was just, I concluded. So.
Now, I ended up getting an email from someone in one of the area colleges here. And I think you'd find this interesting, too, in which, and she had, here's my pronouns, she, hers, you know, whatever, she, her, hers, all that kind of stuff. And then beneath it on the signature, the email signature was, you know, ask me why pronouns matter. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, pronouns are sort of self-evident, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, you're on a government paycheck, and you've got a government pension, and you have all this stuff, and you think it's important that we go down this delusional pronoun world.
Yeah.
Just drive you nuts, you know. And you're educated, Oh, all right. Yeah, just tell the VA doctors that they turn you on. I'm sure they'll serve him quite well. Good morning, KMED. Who's this?
Thank you. This is me, Gregory, out in Shady Cove.
Gregory.
About the presidential type stuff.
Sure.
My question will be, if the people are saying, the candidates are saying that they're going to throw the people out of the country, and then the other person says they're going to welcome the people in the country, how can we expect not that Camilla is going to win the election? She's in favor of keeping the people here. And then Trump and saying that people have been saying that he's going to throw them out. How about all these illegals?
Well,
it's a kind of confusing statement there.
Well, there is a real calculus going on right now that even many on the left have seen, that the anarchy, the bringing in of gangs, the bringing in of criminals, the bringing in of essentially people to do the criminal jobs, that there aren't enough Americans to do the criminal jobs, apparently. I guess we have a shortage of that. Even in the Democratic hive minds, there has been a threshold reached, I think, in which, yeah, they're done. They're done. Oh. And there was a video the other day of Tim Walz talking about a very similar situation. I forget which city it was in Minnesota. But it was the same kind of thing like Springfield, Ohio, in which the federal government comes in there and dumps a bunch of migrants from all sorts of different areas into this one little town, and it's overloading the school system. And he was talking about what a wonderful moral victory this was. And I'm paraphrasing right now, words to the effect of that, I'm in those government schools, and there's 50 different languages being spoken there. And I'm thinking to myself, he's thinking that's good. It's a definition of chaos. See what I'm getting at? You know, that's actual chaos that he was talking about, what a wonderful moral victory it is. And I think even in the Democratic hive minds, they're realizing, you know, Team Chaos can't be allowed in any longer. I think that's where we're headed right now. Possibly. Okay?
Again, thank you. And I'm going to be watching the debate this evening.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching it too. Should be quite interesting. And by the way, we are going to carry that on KMED. All right? 6 o'clock is when we'll have that on, simulcasting it on CBS. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, it's Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hey, I own since we're bashing the government, I own a roofing company here in Medford, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And Oregon OSHA, January 1st, decided to raise the fines of roofers. We can't be over 6 feet without a rope and harness.
Mm-hmm.
So the fines used to be $25,000 to $6,000, you know, and now I got a ticket for a 4-12 roof that's basically flat, single story house. My fine is $27,000.
Wow!
Impossible to pay in today's government or in today's world. Framer got a fine for $31,000. Another roofing company got $160,000. Jam Roofing got $160,000 fine. Everybody is getting fined. Two people got $103,000. Another company got $60,000.
Now, Don, to be honest, though, were you putting your workers in jeopardy, though?
On a 4-12 roof, on a flat roof, if the ropes are so much more dangerous, they just get tangled everywhere. But just say yes, okay? If somebody falls off, you can't fall off a 4-12. It's like the FBI saying that it was a slope roof that the shooter was on and they couldn't be on it. That was a 2-12.
So this is the safety.
Concrete.
So this is the danger of the safetyism. Gotcha. Okay. Wow. I mean, what happens? What's going to happen to your roofing company? Just curious. What happens?
Oh, everybody's going to go out of business.
Wow.
Nobody could pay that right now.
I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks for the report. I had no idea they were getting that. So is this Oregon OSHA doing it? I just want to make sure that I get that right.
Yep. They copied California's rules and raised all the prices.
Oh.
You know, with inflation, 6 years ago, I was able to save $150,000 and buy my house. Today, I couldn't come up. And I deposit $50,000, $60,000 a month, and I can't come up with $5,000 right now.
Yeah, that's a big pebble. I appreciate you sharing that. Boy, I wish I had a solution for you right now. I would be talking with your local elected rep from the state for sure, since this is Oregon OSHA you're dealing with. Appreciate the call. Wow. How many businesses could just take a $27,000 fine from OSHA? I wonder if there's an ability to appeal that. I'm not very knowledgeable about it, so I'm sorry I caught a little. Good luck on that is what I'm saying.
At Father and Son Jewelry, we now have Lashberg Designs. They've revolutionized ring building.
That's the Hughes Lumber Girl, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. You know, Francine was saying the roofer that called in a few minutes ago ought to get in touch with Cliff Bentz. I don't know if Cliff Bentz would have jurisdiction on Oregon OSHA, Francine. Interesting. I'll have to check into that. Ron in Medford also writes me, though, about the inflation numbers. Another email here. By the way, my email is bill@billmeyershow.com. Read them all. Try to share as many as I can. And always some good thinking. And Ron in Medford says, hey, Bill, it's my understanding that the current inflation rate being reported does not include food and energy. You're right, because they're considered volatile, as I was mentioning. Both of these have gone up considerably more and are probably closer to 19%. So when this is factored in, the real average is probably closer to 10% or 11%. It makes sense to me, too, Ron, and I'm hoping that this really gets talked about in tonight's presidential, vice presidential debate, rather, which we will be simulcasting, and I'm hoping that CBS gets on the case and really digs into this, because what the government claims is inflation and what real people who have to deal with it. I mean, all you have to do is look at the 17% increases proposed by Pacific Power. You know, that's real. You know, that's real money and a good percentage of people's income, but they don't want to factor that in. Yikes. All right. See you tomorrow on Wheels Up Wednesday. Thank you.
When it's time for a new roof.